Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Good morning. Come on, stand with me, because the standing isn't for me. It's because we're going to read the Word of God. You know, you can stay seated and just do whatever, but we want to honor the Word of God today. Today we're going to find ourselves in a very simple message, I think, but I think it has some profundity about it, because I think it's going to bring us to a place where we have to kind of examine our hearts toward issues that perhaps we probably don't look at very often. We're going to start reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 12 through 22. And you'll find the responding verses on the screen. And for those of you who don't know our tradition, you read the responding verses back to me as we find them on the screen. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Then I'll establish the throne of your kingdom, and as I have covenanted with David, your father, saying, you shall not fail to have as a ruler in Israel. Then I will uproot them from your land, from my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. Verse 22 together. Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're going to deal with a very simple word, but it has such impact, because it's just a little two-letter word. It's called if. And behind in that particular word is so much. There are either promises, or there's hesitations, or even there's reservations on the fact of some things will never happen. But Lord, I pray today that we'll get the impact of your word upon our lives of what if. If we do what you say, God, there's so many guarantees of your grace, of your power, of your wisdom, of your provision. But today we need to have the real power of your Holy Spirit to implant this in our hearts. Holy Spirit, teach us today, and we'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor and the praise. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Before you're seated, I want you to turn to somebody and tell them this. If you do the right thing, there's a way out. You can be seated. All right. Everything of that is great or noteworthy is a product of having been confronted the word if as an invitation to enter into the world of the unknown, to discover something that is waiting for those that are willing to meet the conditions that define a relationship between God and his people. When we ponder the word if, we will either come up with a question to be answered or a promise to be fulfilled. The only thing that can cancel if from Jesus is to do nothing and let regret of not knowing the power of if it were acted upon. I don't want to take you through your whole life, but I'm sure there's some ifs in your life that have been settled, and some of them not to the best degree. Here's my couple of things I'll use with the word if, and maybe you'll fall in one of those categories. Number one is this. If only, those two words together says, describes our deepest regrets regarding opportunities given to us by the Lord that we have allowed to pass us by. Don't vote on this one, but I know I can vote on that one. If I'd only, but I didn't. Can we move to number two? It says, as if, exposes our fear of circumstances that we allowed ourselves with the coaching of the devil to walk away from because of our lack of faith in God's word. If I'd only believed God, my life would have been different. If I'd only trusted him, I wouldn't be where I am today. Can I give you the third one before you get too depressed? How about this one? What if? Describes a failure that overrules the possibilities of today by refusing to let go of the failures of yesterday. Every one of us have failed at one time or another. Can I get an amen? Amen. But you don't need to be stuck in yesterday. Today is a new day. God is giving you power to rule over these different situations. And I would declare to you today, this, if you would only trust in God, you could open up to a brand new day. So we're going to talk about the power of if. Well, what are the bearers of the powerful name? We are the bearers of the powerful name of Jesus. And back to verse 14, because this is probably the most famous verse. It says, if my people who are called by my name. How many of you have been called a Christian? Raise your hand. I hope I'm going to get 100% here in just a minute, because I got something for you. Well, I don't really know yet. I'm kind of halfway there. We're going to push you off the cliff today. Jesus has made some very bold statements about those who have chosen to follow him. Let me give you a few of them. It is with great humility that we follow the Lord Jesus as disciples through the obedience to his word. And I want to tell you, he says, if my people who are called by my name, the first thing he says, humble yourself. You are not all that. I hate to say, but no, baby. Sugar, no, you ain't it. You ain't part of it. Marginal at best, okay? But he says, humble themselves. And unfortunately, our culture doesn't lend itself toward that. I have never seen more selfies in my entire life. I do not care to see what you ate for lunch. I have no idea. Click. Post. Really? Let it go. You know, it's kind of a way of bragging. Let me leave that alone because I could get stuck there and we won't get to the rest of this. But here's the deal, is it that the posture of humility is assumed by those who realize that it is by the grace of God that we have been chosen and we have what we have. Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, as sheep, we know and listen to the voice of our shepherd. That's the reason why you've made anything in your life. Consider this, being called a Christian believer carries infinite possibilities as to how the Lord may choose to use your life. I hope you've abandoned the idea that you're still in charge, because you're not. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Interesting. How about this? As we turn from our wickedness of the world, we will discover our true destiny of purpose through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know what I found out in these last few years? We didn't talk about the Holy Spirit that much, but nowadays we need an invasion of the Holy Spirit to take over of the crazy things we've been doing. And so the invasion of him, it will point out to us the things that we've kind of relied upon that just haven't been working. So if we confess Jesus through our obedience to his word, we will be able to hear the voice of the Lord through the Spirit. Some of you have relied upon a Holy Ghost hunch. I kind of feel God's, I got a hunch. I got a good feeling about it. Oh, honey, God is not in the hunch business. He will tell you, don't do that. And here's your response. If I'd only listened to God. See, if, there it is. I want to be able to remove the if from your life that is an indictment against you being disobedient toward the truth of what God says. Well, the ifs from Jesus start with conditions on the front end and end up with promises fulfilled on the back end. That sounds pretty good. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Watch this. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But isn't that inspiring? Don't you just feel overwhelmed with goodness? You know what your problem is? You say one thing and you act another way. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, what's that next word? We? Oh, come on, say it out. We? And do not practice the truth. Some of y'all are liars. I didn't call you that, the Bible did. But, look at the next word. If, come on, say it with me. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all our sins. Whoa! You know how you get rid of all your bad, crazy habits? Walk in the light of Jesus. Let his light expose the darkness that's in your heart that's contrary to his will. And you'll have freedom to be all the person you wanted to be. There isn't any class you can sign up for or any other thing that can be added to the page that will help you get out of this particular pit you got yourself in. Well, Jesus gives clarity in his description of what it means to walk in the light. Well, it's kind of interesting, you know. So we walk in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ's son cleanses us from all sin. Now, that word that will make trip you up is cleanses us from all sin. You are not perfect. But when you make a mistake, the Holy Spirit will convict you and give you the opportunity to get it right. Before you leave this building today, you'll have an opportunity to get it right. What it means is we must walk in the Spirit of truth. And when we do things according to his word, we will be cleansed from our sins. Well, if we'll point you toward the truth and the reality of knowing Jesus. Going down to a couple more verses. Verse 8 says this. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Don't you love that if? Ain't nothing wrong with me, it's wrong with her. And when she repents and she gets it right, then everything will be cool. Because it's not about me, it's her. It's him. Well, here comes another if. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You are one confession away from being all that Jesus intended you to be. And you know what the sad thing about it is we know what's wrong with you. You want to know what's wrong with you? Ask me, I'll tell you. But he says, he puts the if for you. If we confess our sins, you can't confess my sins for me. Now you can tell me, you are loud, boisterous, you don't have this, and just go on and on. That won't work. I've got to admit, Lord, I'm loud, I'm boisterous, I'm this, I'm that. And if we confess it to God, God will forgive us. Stop trying to confess other people's sins for them. Can you help me with that? If you wasn't so this, you wouldn't be so that. I don't need your help. I'm working on my if. And clearly, it says, now, number 10 is for you narcissistic people. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, how can you make God a liar when he's the truth? It's hypocrites trying to live like Christians. If your life does not line up with the word of God, I got news for you. You ain't one. What? I'm leaving here. He told me I wasn't saved. You're right. You got that. Well, We must walk in the Spirit of truth. When we do things according to his word, we will be cleansed from our sins. Well, he will point us toward the truth, and we cannot enter into a denial of the truth by the pretense of words not founded in righteous living. But what about this? When we meet the conditions of if, we can enjoy the fruit of forgiveness. There is nothing more powerful, more cleansing, than knowing when you were wrong and you wronged someone, for them to say to you, I forgive you. Chains fall off of you. Oppression falls off of you. Guilt falls off you, especially when you know you're guilty. Say, I'm not going to hold that against you. I forgive you. It's okay. Well, if we'll confront us with the reality of our sin by exposing deception of not having the word abiding in us. Now, I want to give you a formula of how you can stay in sin. Write it down right now. Here's how you can stay in sin. Don't believe the things that people are saying about you that you already know are true. Well, how do you do that? It's called denial. And what we do is we say, oh, I'm not that. Then we think of the things that they are, and we think that the things that we say that they are will counter out the things that we are. It doesn't work that way. How dare you call me this? You don't even look in the mirror. This is what you are. It didn't take away what you are first. When you live in a defensive posture, it doesn't help you. If carries the power of indictment against the problems of life. Romans 8:31. This is a great scripture. They're all great, but this will have a little leverage in it. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now I want you all to read that. Read it for me. Go ahead. What? Here's my question for you. How could God be against you? Well, the problem with this is God's love for us is a shield against anything that the enemy would try to wage against us. And the enemy is the author of confusion. He's the author of doubt. He's the author of frustration. That being the case, Jesus' infallible truth of how important we are to the Lord, that God is for us, it doesn't matter what the devil does. Who can be against us? Which means the fact that God sent Jesus to atone for our sins cancels out the if in the form of a question of whether or not God cares about us. Because some of you are still saying, if God really cared about me, why did this happen to me? And that is the power of if in reverse against the Spirit. And the devil will use it to counteract or to destroy your confidence in God. If God is really for you, then why are you still broke? If God is for you, then how come your kids are acting crazy? Oh, come on, you know you've heard this type of stuff. If God is for you, then how come your husband left you? Oh boy, I'm gonna dig a little bit deeper. That wasn't good enough. If God is for you, then how come your kids are acting crazy? If God is for you. And when you try to attach that if to a circumstance in life, the enemy will empower you with all types of faulty thinking that does not incorporate the fact that people have a free will as to whether or not they're going to do what God says. If and free will are not compatible. Can I help you with that? Well, circumstances and situations that happen that are rendered powerless by the work of the cross through the sacrifice of Jesus to take away any thought of if. Let me take you to a place where Jesus was, and I think it will help you. Jesus, at his most vulnerable moment on this planet, he said, if. Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Is that the word of God? But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I want to help you today when you're in that helpless condition where tears are streaming down your face, where your emotions are just totally wacko. Say, God, you know, if possible, take this thing from me. I just don't think I can handle it. But I want to let you know that behind that, if there's the power of Jesus to take you through the worst situation you've been in your life, and he will come to your rescue and he'll bring you through it. I want to let you know it's okay to say if. It's okay to say if. If there's any way out of this, God, I don't want to go through it. But one thing about it, but not my will, your will be done. And when you say not my will, your will be done, the angels of God will come and surround you. They'll shield you from all the things that the devil has in store for you. It's okay to be honest. Some of you folks are lying. It's okay. I'm fine. I'm fine that my kids are still on drugs. It's okay. It doesn't hurt. It's all right. You know, I don't know. Can we say stupid? That's crazy. That's dysfunctional. That's an illness. You can be honest and know that you're in love with Jesus, but you know his will come into your life. It's not to destroy you, but it's to make you stronger in him. Everything you're going through right now, God's going to use it to make you a better you. Oh, I'm going to get anointed here a minute. I got to slow down. Slow down. Let me talk to you of how if got started. We got to go to the book of Genesis in chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And this will probably intrigue you. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. And now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Go on to the next few verses, please. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. I want to get to some of you right now. When you felt rejected from God, and there was no reason for that. This first scripture about the two brothers should help you and heal you from any accusation you have toward God of him not being fair. But I got to unpack it for you in a different realm. And so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? Now note that word. If you do well, will you not be accepted? I want to apply that if to your situation, where you've accused God and accused everyone else that God is not fair. But the if was on you and your performance, and you know the reason why it didn't turn out so good. But you're pretending like you don't. Well, it's going to get a little rougher. He says, if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. Now watch this. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Oh, ooh, ooh. There are things that you've done and I've done that we thought Abel was the problem, and the problem was us. But if we could kill it, get it out of sight, we don't have to deal with it anymore, then everything will be okay. Wow. Somehow both Cain and Abel were required, the Lord required them to offer worship before the Lord. Now I want to tell you something about worship. And this is not an indictment, it's just an observation. Some people tolerate worship. What? When you stand up and you go through the motions and you find a song you like, you may sing, you may not. You may raise your hands, you may not. And it's not about raising your hands, it's not about singing. It's about whether or not you want to worship God. And if you don't want to worship God, you don't have to. What? It gets deeper than that. Cain was aware of what would be an acceptable offering of worship before the Lord. God will never judge you for something that you don't know about. You say, what? It seems like God arbitrarily just kind of just took it out on Cain and says, I don't like you. God will never put an indictment against you without you knowing ahead of time what's on the table. But some of us sitting in this room right now feel like you've been treated unfairly by God. Don't raise your hand. I know you're here. Well, anger came over Cain's life when he experienced rejection of his false attempt to worship on his terms. You know, there's a part of this scripture that I believe is so important for us to not overlook. And I'm going to pick it up for you because it will help you bring yourself into alignment with God's word. And so, you know, Cain is ticked off. I mean, he's out of control. And so he's just kind of figured out, you know, well, I'm just going to just ignore God and whatever. But here's the scripture I forgot to put on there, but I won't let it escape from you. And so in verse 9, it says this. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? You talking about lying and carrying on? He done killed him. I don't know where he is. And some of us have lied bold-faced to God. We know, but we will not. If I say I don't know, then it's all cool. Are you crazy? You think God didn't see what you did or hear what you said? Seriously. We're in rough shape. Well, anyway. And the Lord said to Cain, and he said, what have you done? That the voice of your brother's blood cries out from the ground. And now you are cursed from the earth. has opened up this mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. You know, if you go back to the verse 7, it says, if you do well, you will you not be accepted? There are things you're blaming God for that you already know. It's not God's problem, it's yours. Well, let's finish this out a little bit. It says, if you do well, pointed out that there was a choice of option as to whether or not it was important to do well or to get worship over with. Boy, that hit hard. You look at your watch, 5 more minutes and they'll be done. Now you can have them raise their hand a few times, have them clap, and then I'll be done. Well, really? Here we go. But interestingly enough, he spun this thing around. He says, so you shall be cursed from the earth when it has opened your mouth to receive your brother's blood from it. And when you till the ground, it shall no longer give its strength to you, and you will be a fugitive and a vagabond. Now watch this. Verse 13, he says, and Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Talk about making it about yourself. You killed your brother. God's disciplining you. I don't think I can handle this being ostracized. You killed somebody. Hello? The response of Cain never pointed to the violation of not doing well, and Cain was self-absorbed in how his decision impacted himself. And Cain lost access to the most precious gift, being banished from the presence of God. Now watch this, forever. What would happen if you knew that your style of worship would exclude you from God's presence forever, that you'd never feel the presence of God? God says, okay, I'm done. I've given you an opportunity to enter into worship. You want to enter into worship? You will never feel my presence ever again in this life. That's the arrogance that we have when we come before the Lord and decide, I may worship, I may not. Depends on how I feel. The best worship you will have is when you're in pain. The best worship you'll have is when you feel like nothing's going right. That's the best worship you'll ever have. Because in spite of all, we say, God's good all the time. You don't believe that. If you did, you'd worship a lot differently. Well, last little portion of scripture we'll find is, what are the most important ifs in your life? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess, no one can come into the kingdom of God without confessing Jesus is Lord. Can I get an amen? Amen. Oh, I think I like Jesus. He was a very diplomatic man, and he did a lot of great things for people. He was kind of a man, he was a humanist, and he did a lot of human things and did impact the world in a very positive way. He had a group of folks that were missionaries and helped people that were, yeah, I think I can identify with someone like that. Seriously? Do not jump on the bandwagon because he's attached to one particular thing that you have this particular inclination toward. If you confess Jesus, well, if we truly believe in it, why not share it? Oh, this is going to get rough. I'm not one to try to push people into thinking, well, you need to be an evangelist. You need to tell someone about Jesus every day. But I came across this little phrase, and I want to give it to you. And I think it will help you and break you out of your shell. And the person said it this way: share the gospel every day, and if necessary, use words. Come on, can we get a hand praise for that one? In other words, if you're still living like the devil, shut up. But if you're living like Jesus would and you have compassion and kindness and love and mercy and all this other type of thing, if you're necessary, you may use words, but start giving off the love that Jesus gave to you when you didn't deserve it. If you walk in forgiveness and walk in love and the power of the Holy Spirit, people all say, wow, how can you do that? And then you get to say, it's because of Jesus. Whew, he opened the door for you. But you start out acting like him, then they'll believe that he's real. Okay. We have often said that actions speak louder than words, but I don't, our possibilities of believing it. Being silenced by the fear of man to share about Jesus will lead you down the pathway that was taken by Cain. Oh, you thought I was through with Cain, didn't you? Cain was a pretender. Cain tried to make mockery of what he knew God really wanted. There's a scripture that we have, I almost forgot, it's over in Hebrews. Can you pick up that Hebrew scripture I had? Just go back to it. It was Hebrews. I think if you go back one thing in my notes, it was Hebrews 11:4. You got that for me, Sheila? It's coming. Hebrews 11:4. There we go. Yeah. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, through it he being dead still speaks. If you do it right, they can't kill you. your testimony will still be alive. When you're doing it for Jesus, they may try to take your life, but God says, no, they can't take what they really offered to me in the truth of what God is. I'm just about there. If we truly believe our behavior and conduct will be the testimony to if. Jesus will set up divine appointments for us, but we must show up. And everyone needs someone who believes in them more than they believe in themselves. You know, when I was a young person, I had several people that really believed in me, and one of them was my grandfather. And he was probably in his late 60s, early 70s, when he decided he was going to mentor me. And I tell you, he believed in me, and he would take me all these different places. And I don't understand until today that why this man full of wisdom would spend time with a little kid like me. But no, I'm here today because somebody believed in me more than I believed in myself. But you need to be able to pass that gift on to someone else. That's how it works. Well, the situation being this, looking for the if possibilities in other folks, the devil is the master of destroying people with their past failures. Some of you are afraid of if because you failed in the past. And say, I'm never going to try that again. I'm not going to make a fool out of myself. Well, really? Well, what about that? Hope comes alive when we activate the faith of people by turning if into an invitation in our lives. And furthermore, it means let the Holy Spirit come alive in you to bring out the if in them. The people that you circulate around that need to know the if that's in them that can be alive by the Spirit of God. Well, let the Holy Spirit come alive in you. If is Jesus' open invitation to unlock the possibilities and potential in people's lives. Mark chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. We're pretty close here. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And really the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I want to take a very daring leap into your life today. Into the area of your unbelief. He said, well, I want to believe. And if you know the story, I'll summarize it real quickly. This man had his son. His son's being tormented by demons. The devil tried to kill him several times. And he took him to his disciples. The disciples couldn't help him. But here's the deal. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible. And some of us sitting here, notice I said some of us, not some of you, some of us, have been locked out of the if of God through things that we just can't seem to believe God for. Here's how it works. Jesus wants to help you with the if that hinders your ability to believe. The first thing you got to do is admit you still have unbelief. Oh, no. Oh, no. Would you get off of this righteous, horse of yours and admit, like me, I still have some unbelief. I do. It's not intentional. And part of the reason why I still have unbelief is I haven't seen what I've been asking God for yet. And so somehow I get distracted and say, I don't know whether God's going to do that or not. Because if he was going to do it, he would have done it by now. Ever felt that way? If usually sets a time limit. If they're not here by 6:30, I'm out of here. 6:32, they arrive because they got caught in traffic and you missed them. The impatience that we have, that I have, that can contradict or can dismantle or can derail what God has in store. But look at this. Jesus wants to help you with the if that hinders your ability to believe. Belief removes if will be given to those who allow Jesus to confront our fear. You know what fear is? Acrostically, false evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. And notice I say E for evidence. Because it doesn't look like they're not here yet, so it's not going to happen. Because if they were here, I wouldn't be believing like this. What about this? But here's something I think that will help you. It's a story I'll end with. Hopefully, it'll bring you to a place of perspective. There was a young woman who said these words. With God and 3 pennies, I can do anything. Huh? Anjez Goxi Bojaksu. Who in the world was that? Mother Teresa. That's who it was. With God and 3 pennies, I can do anything. Where'd that end up? 50 years later, 133 countries, orphanages that were built. Actually, and Jay-Z means little flower. And billions of dollars given to charity. You notice it doesn't contain the word if. I want to remove out of your vocabulary as the worship team comes the word if. And I want you to replace it with God. And whatever else it is that you need, I can do all things. I want to erase if out of your vocabulary to a place where faith has arisen, to a place where it always belongs. What a powerful thing. Because God, in our original scripture, says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and heal their land. Everybody bow your heads with me. I want to finish this message today with removing the if from some people that are here that says, you know what, Pastor, I'm stuck. And I believe that God is the only one that can get me unstuck. And his grace is sufficient for me. Now, here's one thing I need you to do. The if that's been placed over your life was probably placed there because of a failure or because of a disappointment. And so, in order for this to really take a hold in your life, you must say or allow the Word of God to say something to you that perhaps is really, really necessary. So, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to speak into your heart something that will be helpful. Father, with our hearts, our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, would you bring us back to that place where we made a declaration and we said the words like, I'll never, ever do, and they fill in the blank. I'll never trust again. I'll never give again. I'll never love again. I'll never. May I take the if and put it in this sentence? If you will trust God, the hurt, the healing, the frustration, the shallowness that you've experienced can be erased. I'm not going to have you stand today. I want you to sit right where you are and let the Holy Spirit surround you, and as it were, to build protection around your heart that surrounds you with the love of God, saying, and God says, you know what? I've always desired to be there for you. And if you are willing to trust me, to believe me today, you will receive and experience my grace in a measure you haven't before. Right now, with your heads bowed, with your eyes closed, flashing before the screen of your mind are situations, circumstances, people. And say, if I could just get rid of that, I'll be okay. The Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus, is here to do that. And if you want Jesus to do that for you, I'm not going to ask you to come forward today. Coming forward will not save you. But lifting your hand will say, you know what? I'm ready to receive God's forgiveness and God's grace and to change the direction of my life. If that's what's happening to you, lift your hand right now, wherever you sit. Lift it up high where I can see it, because I want to know who I'm praying for. Lift it up high. Okay. You can put them back down. Lord, the if that has dominated our life, that's kept us on the oppression of things that we wished were different, and the regret that has swallowed our life whole, Lord, we want to take a whole different position today. We want to allow you to be the God who knows what it's like to be inundated with the pressure and seemingly of the world. When you had to say, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not as you will, as I will. Lord, we say, your will be done, and we surrender everything that would hold us hostage to you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. We give glory to you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.